Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom. This is Late Night in the Word. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate all of our faithful listeners out there who join us for Late Night in the Word on Saturday and Thursday nights. This is Olive Branch Ministries, and we're coming to you from Acworth, Georgia, which is a little tiny neighborhood city outside of Atlanta in the northwest corner. And we're in a funny little studio, me and about eight people right now. We got a full studio tonight. So my name is Pastor Keith. And you know what? I'll just let you guys introduce yourselves.
Avery Irvin. Shalom, shalom.
Avery Irvin.
And to my right is Yaakov.
Shalom, shalom.
Yaakov. And
to my left,
Robert Rodriguez. Shalom.
Robert Rodriguez.
My name is Brandon Wheeler. I'm usually from around the corner. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. And then Diego Cruz.
Shalom, shalom.
And
everyone, God bless you and give it shalom.
And Joab is behind me. And he doesn't have access. But anyway, here we are. It's Late Night in the Word. And every Thursday, Saturday night at 11:30 to 12:30, we get on and discuss the scriptures. If you have questions, prayer requests, any kind of comment, you can give us a call. We are currently broadcasting through Blog Talk Radio, pardon me. And our phone number with Blog Talk is 347-850-1420. And we more than welcome your phone calls. We will be with Blog Talk till the top of the hour, just for 1/2 hour. And after that, we will be going back to our stream coming through our website, which is www.olivebranchonline.org. So you can join us there. That has a lot of our content as a ministry. This is our pastor's name is Richard Weintraub, and he's a Jewish believer in the Messiah of Israel, whose name Christians know as Jesus. And he is a student of the Word and a pretty developed teacher. So we usually spend our time discussing things that have been taught during the week. And if we have questions, we bring those out too. So if you got something on your mind, you want to give us a call. The phone number is 347-850-1420. And I want to start in the scripture because I have something on my mind that I want to throw out there. It's in Psalm 139. And I was reading this tonight. It was pointed out to me. There's a couple of verses here. Psalm 139, starting in verse 15. And I'll have one of you guys read it, if you don't mind.
My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth.
Keep reading. One more verse.
Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them.
And one more.
How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them.
Now, there's something that we do, we talk about a lot in our ministry. I don't know about other churches per se. My sense is, based on some of the investigation we've done into other pastors and what they teach, not because we are just looking to be critics, but we like to stay up on what other churches are teaching and what men of God are bringing out, because we're all one big body. So
We like to find out. But I think one of the things that I see in our culture, see in the church culture, is that the identity that we have as believers is a little fuzzy. And when I say fuzzy, fuzzy means that we're not clear and we're not strong in our understanding of who we are. And because we're not strong in who we are, we have great susceptibility to being deceived in our emotions, led astray into false concepts, and operation in the earthliness instead of in the heavenly reality. This set of verses really is so profound to me because the writer here, which is David, he's making it very clear that he understands that his very substance, the created reality of his life, was all in the hands of God. And I don't know how many of us really give him that kind of deep credit for what we are and what we become and how we walk, how we relate in this earth. I think there's this tendency, even in our humanity, to constantly pointing the finger at ourselves and our failures. And we don't often sit and allow ourselves to be encouraged by this set of verses that's saying to you, no matter what you like to examine in terms of your imperfections, God created you. And in verse 16, which I really like, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And there's so many people walking around trying to be perfect. And yet God examined you and formed you even when you were, there wasn't a perfection. It hadn't even been brought into the fullness yet. And he already knew you, loved you, and had a purpose. And it wasn't even that he was measuring your imperfections. None of us got saved being perfect. All of us were saved being unperfect. All of us met Jesus in an unperfect state, not a perfect state. None of us came to God in a place of strength. We all came to God and met his son Jesus on the footsteps of destruction and weakness and a lack of power and incapacity. And I think it really is a mystery to me why the gospel has become the gospel of I'm a sinner saved by grace, instead of my Lord died on the cross to save me from being a sinner and was resurrected into a new life, a new existence. And now my opportunity is to live in that existence, not to constantly hold myself back in something old. And there's a couple different verses. One is, I think of Paul, one of you guys might know where it is. I believe it's in Corinthians, when he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. Another place he says, I don't even know myself. I only know Christ. I'm not going to judge anyone. That passage alone is, it should be convicting to everyone. It should be something that the Christian church is very mature in. We don't know each other after flesh. And when I go to this verse in Psalm 139, this is exactly what I see. I see a man who is so in love with God's estimation of his heavenly reality and isn't interested so much in his earthly incapacity. And if you have any questions about that, don't be afraid to call us. Our phone number with Blog Talk Radio is 347-850-1420. Did you find one of those?
Yaakov showed it to me. It's 1 Corinthians 15:10.
1 Corinthians, and for everybody, 1 Corinthians is 15 is an amazing chapter. Go ahead and read that.
Paul says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me.
So what do you think?
Paul's saying this not to do with him. It's by the grace of God.
Now, how many people have you met who are believers who are constantly looking at themselves?
Most of the time, and most of us in time past.
Spend a lot of time analyzing our own position, analyzing our own mind, trying to assess whether we understand or have arrived at a certain location, trying to figure out how to walk in the Spirit, whether we have the Spirit, moving around for years and years and years on the foundational principles of the gospel. I've been set free by the blood, washed and cleansed. I have the Holy Spirit. I now have a new creation life. I don't have an old creation life. How many of you out there in the airwaves there understand that you don't have an old life anymore? You only have a new life. And there isn't anything else. And if you need a scripture for proof, let's go to Romans chapter 6. See, for us, we have to connect scripture to scripture. And that's so important in Hebraic Roots. In Hebraic Roots, one of the main purposes of Hebraic Roots is in connecting scripture to scripture. Because Paul is not operating in a vacuum. He's not a man creating a religion out of nothing. Paul is a Pharisee, and he doesn't ever stop being a Pharisee. He didn't repent of being a Pharisee. He was a continual Pharisee his whole life. His separation just moved a smidgen to one side to now include the fullness of the Messiah and what now the Spirit was asking him to be responsive to. You hear that word, responsive, which means that there was an initiation coming from heaven to now be a bit more sensitive to the role that he had to teach people and bring them into the fullness of the new creation, and not so much on trying to make people perfect in their obedience. If you invest into people the scriptures and you disciple them in the scriptures and you walk the scriptures in front of them, the greater tendency is for someone to understand what they're required to do. We don't have to go around and legalize people into obedience because it just doesn't work. It's a failed system on every level with every denomination that's ever tried it. So back to the scripture in, where was I saying we were going
Romans
there?
Romans 6.
Romans chapter 6, verse 2, 3, 4. Somebody read it.
God forbid.
Into the microphone, Mr. Sir. We're on radio.
God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life.
Okay, so what do these scriptures mean? And this is something else about Hebraic Roots. We don't like the intellectualism of the scriptures. We like the reality of the scriptures. And Paul is painting a picture here, not so that we can understand it so much in our minds as we can understand it now in our hearts and in our spirit, so that we can walk it out and be liberated from the casualty of living in the earth. So what is this really saying for us in our working understanding of walking out this life? Anybody?
Wow, that's a good one. Stop being a victim and stop being pressured by this world and live differently now. According to, as the scriptures say, the just will live by faith. God's word is faithful, and so we receive it as it's given to us, and we hold on to it as it's been given to us, not according to our experience in this world.
This is a powerful scripture. It really is to me, and I don't know if we've all really come to grips with what it is. And I think we need to be more impacted by it. If the scripture is saying, Paul is making it very clear, and Paul in the book of Romans is really reaching up into the heavenlies because he went there and he saw. And what has taken place here is your life ended when you met Jesus. Effectively, you went into hell. Effectively, you suffered the judgment. Because if he died for you, then you died too. You died, you spent time in the pit, and he came and he rescued you out by grabbing the keys, pouring the blood out on the altar in the heavenlies, and now you have access to the fullness of the eternal life that we will see when we depart from our human body. We have it available to us right now, and I think it's one of the greatest travesties of the current age that we live in, that we're trying to live such a dualistic life. I believe in Jesus, but I have the liberty, because I'm earthly and I'm not perfect, to now partake of the earthliness because I can't control myself. This is not even part of the gospel, this mentality. The gospel is teaching us that I have to be crucified, and when I'm crucified, I'm separated from myself. It's not I that live, as he says in Philippians, but Christ that lives. Philippians 2:20. Somebody read that, thinking Philippians 3:10. Galatians 2.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
What do I do now?
I live in the new life of Christ. By his
do faith. You know you have a new life in Christ? Do you know what that new life is? Do you know what the new life looks like? We read this the other night. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. This is a very important scripture because the new life is not something that's based on a California interpretation of life or a Maine interpretation of life or a Texas interpretation of life or a Georgia interpretation of life or an American interpretation of life, a white or black or Hispanic definition of life. It has nothing to do with any of that. What does 1 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 say?
If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong
Second Corinthians. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Now, I like that verse for two reasons. What I'm transformed into is something apart from me. It's him. He is the fullness of where I am going and what I'm becoming. But this is also something very important, and that's the last part of this verse. It says, as by the Spirit of the Lord. I don't go there without him. It's impossible for anyone to arrive at the image of Christ without the investment, power, movement, comforting direction of the Holy Spirit inside of you.
If you break down that verse also, the glory to glory part. In mathematics, you would call that the commutative property because it's moving from one.
You, hold on. Yeah, you got to explain that because you're way over the heads of most of us.
Wow. I just see that so clearly that it's from him to us. It's it's a reality that God finished on the cross, but it's we're translated. And so
what would you say to a person who is trying to figure out how to get there?
Jesus explained it like this in John chapter 8. If you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So in another place, I think it's Matthew chapter 13, Jesus said, if you obey my commandments, then I'll come and manifest myself to you. And we've been looking at this in the Old Testament and the Torah with the commandments, because almost every one of the commandments finishes with a B part that says, I am the Lord. And the reason that's important is because the Lord is manifest in his commandments, because it's who he is.
And the beauty of this is, if that's who he is, and we know in John 1 that he is the Word made flesh, we know that the image of him is really the manifestation of the Word. So to know the Word is to have the revelation of the image of God.
Right.
And that's what you're being transformed into.
Yeah, and the way Paul's explaining it to us here, really, it's almost like you get close to somebody and what they have rubs off on you.
Correct.
I mean, really.
Truly.
It's a good way of explaining it.
And there's less of you and more of him. Less of you, more of him. Does it take time? Yes, it does. But my main goal in bringing this out is because I hear many, many believers who are constantly recording and redistributing the lack of confidence or the anchoring that they have in their soul, in the life that they've lived on the earth. They're aware of themselves as earthy, not as heavenly. They're the structure of their communication, earthly, not heavenly. They talk about the impossibilities of what they have to accomplish. They talk about the lack of organization that the human vessel possesses. They talk about their incapacities in the mind. They talk about the weaknesses of their personalities and what they can't understand and why they can't understand it. And there's a complaint department, I guess, inside the soul. And I have a hard time understanding why we continue to move in this arena when the scriptures are so very clear. And I can hear in my mind many times in my life where I've heard people say, so what are you telling me, that I don't have sin anymore? That I'm not a sinner? And I think we're so conditioned to think in terms of being sinners that we don't read the scriptures correctly. There is no way any person, as long as they're in the human flesh, is free from sin. Your body has it stored up in its sight of itself. That body of ours is corrupted. As long as it's corrupted, it has a problem. It has the only answer for our flesh is the grave. So until you go there, you're not free from sin. However, you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what has now happened is your vessel is imperfect, but we have a treasure in that earthen vessel so that the glory might be of God, not of man. And I don't think we put enough weight of praise and honor and acknowledgement to the treasure that we have, and we put more acknowledgement on the weakness of this temple that we have been given to walk around with.
Wow.
And I don't think it's necessary to put any weight on our temple.
It's not necessary because it's obsolete. The old man's obsolete. We don't need the old man anymore.
He has
no purpose anymore. Now that Jesus has come, he's brought in a new man and created a new man, which pleases the Father.
Very much pleases the Father.
And now that's the new role that we have, is to accept the truth and allow the Word of God to declare who this new person is that we are.
Now, start talking about this. This is where I start thinking about this morning and what Pastor Weintraub has been talking about with holiness. Because I think there are a lot of people who like to discuss a word that I'm growing frustrated with, and it's this word called relevance. And I think we have relevance moving in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's the problem.
I think relevance for man is, how do I have relevance on my horizontal? How can I make God relevant to me? And the only direction for relevance is, how am I relevant before him? Am I holy before him? Because that's the only thing that is relevant.
Yeah.
Am I operating according to the scriptures? And that is the only thing that decides what's relevant. And hear me again, if you're a person who understands what happened to yourself when you came into salvation, relevance has nothing to do with your natural life, and the gospel has nothing to do with the natural life. It has everything to do with drawing us away from the earthly into the heavenly, so that we can demonstrate the holiness of God on the earth.
Yep. The key to everything you're saying is in the root word, relative. Relative is the root word of relevance. And we know in the scriptures that he translated us. Translated means that we are no longer related to this world. We are now related to him because of what he's done. And you're right. We don't need to try to make Jesus relative to this world, because the Bible says that Jesus has made us relative to the Father. And so now we need to learn, how do we turn from this world and become relevant to our Father, who is our Creator, and leave this world behind?
Correct. Now, there's all kinds of things that go around this reality, and I think the main thing I'm trying to communicate to you, and we're down to a minute and a half left with Blog Talk Radio, so I just want to make sure that you know to transfer with us over to www.olivebranchonline.org at the top of the hour if you want to continue with us. And just so you know, if you're interested, we have a phone number that we will transfer over to also, and that number is 631-533-4099. I appreciate all of you that are listening to us tonight with Blog Talk, and feel free to give us a call if you have any questions or comments, and we'll talk to you over there in just 45 seconds. So, one of the things that I want to make real clear is, if we are confident in who we are in Christ, our identity takes us to the next stage. And far too many of us are working out our identity instead of understanding our vocation. And if we were to understand our vocation and less about our identity and just move with what we have been given in the Holy Spirit, I think there would be less distress. I think if our confidence is in what we have in Christ, and we would move with that, I think of a carpenter. We were talking about this 2 weeks ago on our radio program that goes out to Guatemala. And Pastor Weintraub introduced this idea of tools. And someone who knows how to use a hammer stops thinking how to use a hammer and just uses the hammer. Do you pick up a hammer, Diego, and have to think about how to use a hammer? No, you just use it.
Yeah, you do what you have to.
What about somebody who's never used a hammer?
You have to
really focus, right? I mean, Robert, you've been driving how many years?
Well over 20.
Well over 20. Do you think about how to drive anymore? No, you just do it.
And sometimes that's scary.
Sometimes it is scary. You could drive and not even be in the car practically. It's so automatic. I think that's what has happened to us as believers. I don't know if we've become automatic in the simple realms of the faith, and the simple things being redemption and the filling of the Spirit and walking in the Spirit and our identity in Christ and where we sit and what our availability to go into the presence of God really is. I think we're trying to still figure out if He hears us and if I hear Him, and do I really understand the Scriptures? Can I talk to Him? Can I expect Him to answer my prayers? And it's all very narcissistic, very focused on ourselves, and it's in the maturity of being sons, which is so important, so absolutely important. And